Well, hey, good morning, church family. I'm so glad that you're here today to worship with us. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great Christmas. I'm sorry I'm not here with you today, but I'm excited about what you're going to get to experience. Back when I was really young in ministry, I had a couple of older ministers kind of come alongside me and be an encouragement to me and a help to me and be mentors to me. And back this past summer, my friend Phil Miller, that I've done ministry with forever, he called me up and he said, "Hey, let's play golf together. I want you to meet the preacher at our church. His name's Brandon Hatfield. It's Fairdale Christian Church up in Louisville." So we played golf together. I got to know Brandon. Brandon's where I was 20 years ago. And so I have tried to come alongside him to be an encouragement to him. He thinks that I want to try to mentor him maybe a little bit, but really what I want to do is try to absorb some of what he's got going on. He is a great communicator. He's a really great leader. Their church is growing like crazy. And so I'm kind of pretending to be the older guy mentoring, but really I'm going to be a student and see if I can't learn some good things from him. And I know that you're going to learn some great things from him today too. We just talked back in November about swapping pulpits for a Sunday and having a chance to experience some new things, meet some new people, and just have a good time. So I'm up there in Fairdale today. He's down here. You guys are going to be so blessed, and I'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Love you guys. I'll see you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and my name's Brandon, as he mentioned, and just grateful to meet some of you guys. And Mark Mobley was saying earlier that we hope that that he's not out of town, that he's at Fairdale. I hope that and he is too, because otherwise my people are going to be a little confused and disappointed where I'm at. But happy New Year to you, man. The first Sunday of 2021 is pretty awesome. And if you're a Kentucky fan, you got your New Year's gift last night. It break that losing streak. Of course, I got my New Year's gift when the Cards beat the Cats. But we know who's out there today. We know where we're at. But just honored to be here. You know, Mark's a great guy. And you guys, I hope that you already know that you got a fantastic preacher. And I know this is a great church. And you guys have done a lot of awesome things over the years. And so it's just my honor to be able to be with you and join you for a Sunday. And it's pretty cool. But I know that this has been a really, really challenging season. Not just for churches, individuals. I mean, man, it's been, some of us have lost jobs. All of, you know, parents, you guys doing the homeschool thing. My wife is a first grade teacher, and my kids are, I've got two in middle school now, one in elementary school. And we've had to learn the online school thing. My wife's had to learn all that. And thankfully, since she's a teacher, she's kind of taken the virtual stuff over for me. But man, what a challenge this has been. It's just a tough season, and I've been thinking a lot about you know if we want to come into the new year and emerge in a better place than we've been. A lot of people are asking, when's this going to end? You know, when's this thing going to be over? When can we move past that? And I think that if we really want to be in a better place, that's probably the wrong question to ask. A better question is, what can we learn through this? And what's God trying to show us through all this stuff? Because it's just crazy. And I've been thinking the last few weeks a lot about deserts. And I don't know if you've ever been to one or not, but a few years ago, I had the opportunity I was in Arizona on a mission trip, and we got to go through the Painted Desert. And it's really beautiful out there. It's all the colors and the rock and the sand and those sort of things. Kind of cool. We spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours out there, which was way too long for me, because I said, once you've seen one rock, you've seen them all. But it was kind of neat to be out there. But the desert, I mean, it's just this dry, dead environment. There's nothing that's happening there. And really, this 2020, it was a desert, you know. And the thing about that, those seasons, is it's really not a time for goal setting and achieving. And I'm going to try to set growth markers and all that kind of stuff. Really, I think what we are learning more than anything through that season is how important it is to stay close to Jesus. Just to stay close to Christ, that's where we thrive. And I know you guys and the leadership of this church, you've done the same as what I've done. Is for months, I have made one hard decision after another, I have not been able to do the things I want to do, and I've had to do things that I'm not too crazy about doing, and it's just what happens in the desert. We wait it out, and we stay close to Jesus. I've got a mentor friend that said to me one time, he said, what do we do in tough situations? You know, when life is falling apart, there's three things that we just can't ever forget. We can't give up on God, and we can't give up on each other, and we long for the day. And I know that's how you guys feel, certainly how I feel. I am longing for the day when we can return back to a more normal thing. But when I think about difficult seasons, probably nobody in the Bible knew more about difficult seasons than the Israelite people in the Old Testament. And if you know much about their history, it's pretty checkered. I mean, it's like a roller coaster. It's one generation, they're following God, and things are going great, and you know, God is blessing them, and they're experiencing a lot of great stuff. And then another generation will come along, and it's like they just forget everything. They just give up on God, and they build these idols, and they're worshiping and doing all this weird stuff. And the blessing of God is just kind of taken away, and everything's bad for them all over again. It's just a difficult time. And there's a moment in Israel's history, if you look back in the Old Testament, where they had come through one of those low seasons, and things were difficult. And they had a new king that had come into power, and his name in First or Second Chronicles is Asa, King Asa. And he does something different. Because when he comes into power, the first thing that he does is he says, we're going to knock down all the idols, they had built these Asherah poles. He said, we're going to tear them down, all the statues that we've been worshiping. We're getting rid of all of them, and we're going to worship the God of our ancestors. In 2 Chronicles 14, verse 4, it says that he commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and his commands. And when they did that, they had a lot of peace. Things start going really well. And it's kind of like a lot in our lives. Like as a pastor, I mean, I feel like I see this all the time. I know people that they're bringing their family to church and they're praying together and they're worshiping and God is a part of their life. He's a part of their family and things go well. And then all of a sudden you just see something switches, something changes, and they're drifting away. And then next thing you know, the marriage is struggling and kids were having problems and everything's tough at home. And it's like, Have you identified the connection yet? Do you see the difference? When we wander away from the Lord, there's trouble. But with these people, they're following the Lord. They've gotten rid of the idols. But then one day, they had this problem. There was this invading army that's coming to attack them. And that's part of Israel's history, too, is people just keep trying to take them over. They just want to destroy these people. And so this army, this Ethiopian army, said there was a million men. So they're way outgunned. There's way, way, way more soldiers than what they had. They're coming for them and going to destroy them. And it says that King Asa looked and he saw the army out there and he prays to God. And basically his prayer is just, God, help us. You know, if you don't show up right now and intervene, we're toast. And so he prays that prayer. And the scripture says that God delivered them. That he gave them this great victory. And the crazy thing about this story that I'm telling you is that's not the highlight. Like, the scripture really doesn't talk very much about the battle at all. It just basically says, oh, God gave them victory. But the best part is what happens next. So you got to think, they are riding high right now. I mean, this is a spiritual moment. Like, man, this is great. God's delivered us from this huge army. Like, we're going home now. Everything's good. And then it says that God spoke to Asa through a prophet. And this is what he said. In chapter 15, verse 2, God says through this prophet, he says, listen to me, Asa. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. And whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. That verse, I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to study this story before, just a few weeks ago. I really hadn't had time to study this one, and it just, this verse in particular hit me in between the eyes, because it's kind of like, man, what a great reminder for us, and you're going to see as we go through this a little bit, this could have been written for us today, how important this is. But, you know, it is easy for you and me to recognize how good God is when everything's going well. And when everything's got an upswing to it, and, you know, we just, when the bills are paid and we're healthy and everybody's happy and there's plenty of presents under the tree and, oh, it's New Year's now. I mean, that's like, yeah, bless God. Everything's going great. We're excited. You know, he's good. God is good. It's easy to recognize how good God is in those moments. It's difficult in the valley. At our church at Fairdale Christian, you know, I love to brag on God and what he has done for us. In spite of us, in spite of our craziness, you know, what he still is just faithful. And over the last 6 years, we've just experienced just unprecedented growth. It's, you really can't, it's just only but God, you know. And we've had, I don't think we've had a year where we've grown less than 20%. 1 year was about 45%. And a lot of people coming to know Christ. It's been kind of crazy because a lot of people we're reaching, they're not church people. So, like, they come in and they're like, hey, what's the deal with the shot glasses? Like, what are we doing here? You know, why do you all sing songs? I don't get this. It's kind of cool to think those things. You know, like, wow, this is somebody that's not really, that they don't know anything. And so it's kind of cool. But it's been a great few years. And, man, it was easy for us to look at that and be like, wow, God is so good. And then March happened. And this is the tale of the year. It was like 2 years in 1 year because in February of 2020, we do this little Super Bowl thing. It's kind of dorky, but we have a great time with it. We do this Super Bowl of preaching, and I swear off against somebody, whatever. But anyway, we had a record day on Super Bowl Sunday of 2020. More people than we'd ever had in a day ever in the history of the church. And we had our lowest attended Sunday in the history of the church. On Christmas Sunday, we had to make a quick pivot and go online only. And we had one person, because our worship minister went there just to hit the live stream button. And I said, we'll count it. We had one, you know. And it's like, what a crazy, I mean, this has just been the extremes, you know. How it's just, we're all over the place. And in our lives, you know, it's like, man, it's like you can come off of a great season in your job with your family and making plans, vacations, all this great stuff to look forward to. And it's like everything just kind of lays in ruins. But I remember one day I was sitting in a staff meeting with our crew and we just, you know, start talking about it. And we're talking about how we're feeling and all those sort of things. And I can't remember who it was that said it, but he said, are we only going to accept good things from the Lord and not hard things? And if this is the road that he wants us to walk, are we going to say, no, I'm unwilling to walk there? You know, we're going to say, let us be a people who say, you give and you take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's who we want to be. God is still God and God is still good. And we can't forget that. And that's really the story with these people, these Israelites. It's like that they'll remember that God is good, but then they forget and they're running to their own devices. And the scripture goes on that God is reminding them of that. He says in verse 3, he says, remember that for a long time, Israel was without the true God. And you didn't have a priest to teach you, and you were without the law to instruct you. But it says, verse 4, that whenever they were in trouble, and whenever they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. I think that's a wonderful reminder for us. This is just goes to show us the faithfulness of our God. When we've run as far as we possibly could, I mean, I think about the story of the prodigal son. You know, I'm going to just run and run and run. And yet, when I turn to the Lord, he's still willing to be found. He's still there. I know that many of you have struggled with your faith this past year. I've had conversation after conversation with people. Say, you know, if God is so good, why? Why this? Why am I going through this? And there are people that we've loved that have died, gotten sick. I mean, all kinds of problems. And we just some people just on the brink of giving up. This has been a hard year. This has been a hard year. And we may feel just like these people that everything seems hopeless. But if I could remind you of something, the scripture says that whenever they were in trouble and they turned to the Lord, they found Him. Whenever we're in trouble, we turn to the Lord, we'll find Him too. He's still willing to be found. The next verse, see if this sounds familiar. Verse 5, it says, during those dark times, you know, when they'd wandered away from the Lord, during those dark times, it wasn't safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. This could have been written today for us. This is the next verse. It says that nation fought against nation and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. Now, I got to pause there for a second. I feel like I could preach a whole sermon just on this verse. I just got to kind of touch and go. But let me just throw something out there for you to think about. How often does God frustrate our plans? How often does God allow trouble, problems into our life in an effort to grab our attention? I would say it probably happens more often than we may want to admit. That God would say, hey, listen, are you paying attention now? Like, do I have your attention? Because this isn't just about, like, whether or not you had a bad day. You know, I think about some of the things that trouble us and get us all worked up and feel like we're going to have a, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack or whatever because of this tough stuff that I'm walking through. God's saying, listen, I know this might be difficult for a season, but we're talking about eternity that's hanging in the balance here. This is important stuff. And so, God, if you've got to grab our attention, let it be so. Have your way in us. And I know that this sounds like our lives. We've got problems. You know, some of us are wrestling through job security and don't know what's the next year going to look like. Or this past year, you know, some of us have been without work and unemployment is a nightmare. Things are tough at home. Marriages are strained. I said that 2020 has been like the great magnifying glass. It's really just magnified whatever was there. So if there were problems at home now, it's probably blown wide open. But if things were good at home, what we're seeing is people who had some pretty decent marriages. Now it's like, wow, we're really reconnecting. This is wonderful. And it's just been this magnifier. It's just crazy. But, you know, parenting, homeschooling, it's exhausting. Many people are sick. Can't attend funerals or weddings, people that we love. I'll tell you, the saddest day that I had last year, I did a funeral for a lady that had died. And they were only allowed to have 10 people at the funeral. And they spaced them out. They had the chairs spaced 6 feet apart on either side and front to back. And you know, you go to a funeral, everybody's grieving and crying and hugging each other. They couldn't do any of that. You couldn't touch each other. And I'm watching these people weep in their chairs all alone. And it was sad. It made me angry. This is just not right. Many of us didn't get to spend the holidays with our families. We had a couple of families in our church that had COVID over Christmas, and they couldn't be in the same room as their young kids while they opened presents. Somebody had to videotape it so they could watch it later. Just terrible. Just terrible stuff. It's so easy to enjoy God on the mountaintop. It's tough to trust Him in the valley. It's tough when we say, God, what are you doing in the midst of all this? So in this account in 2 Chronicles, God's speaking to the people through this prophet. And He's saying, remember what it was like. Remember when you wandered away from Me and how bad that was. He's saying, He's warning him. He's saying, stay close. Stay so, so close to Me, because when you wander and when you go your own way, things fall apart really, really quickly. And then there's this great verse. If you're looking for a theme verse for 2021, this would be a great one to memorize. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7, when the Lord says this, but as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. I remember one day, this is a couple months ago, so I'm kind of laying my heart out a little bit with you guys, showing you, just giving you a peek of my world. In the church, there's a lot of experts out there, and they research and they write blogs and they produce videos and there's seminars. And so, like everybody else, and I'm sure the leadership here as well, we've taken in our fair share of those and trying to figure out, okay, how do we move forward? What do we do? What are we supposed to do to get through this thing? And one day we'd watch this half a day seminar, and basically the guy, the expert, to sum up what he was saying is basically, or the way I heard it, he was kind of like, hey, stupid, get used to this. This is the way it's going to be from now on, you pastors. So get used to empty sanctuaries and get online because everything's going to be virtual from here on out. So you better get comfortable in front of a camera and start doing that kind of stuff. And I finally, I just kind of had a little meltdown with the staff. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes, you know, the Lord's still working on me, guys. I'm kind of stumbling towards Jesus all the time. But I'm watching this and I said, just turn it off. I'm tired of listening to this. I'm tired of listening to this stuff. Because here's what I know, is this is fine for now. You know, we got a lot of people that are immunocompromised, or, you know, there's a lot of fear, and there's people that are caring for people in their life that they don't want to take any risks. And so I'm thankful for the ability to be online. You know, I'm thankful for the ability to keep people connected that way. But you can't love somebody through a camera. And you can't wrap your arms around somebody and pray for them. You can't hold anybody accountable when it's one-sided. You just can't do those. You can't accomplish. There's no fellowship when it's on a computer screen. This isn't entertainment. You know, we are the body of Christ. And so at some point, I trust and I have to believe and know that the same God who spoke to these people way back when and said, listen, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. It's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever that would say to us today, be strong, be courageous. This isn't wasted time. You're not wasting energy, but continue to keep the faith, because in some moment, at some day, your work will be rewarded. And I'll be honest with you, the work that you guys do as a church, the work that you do individually as ambassadors for Jesus, there's no greater work on earth. It's the most important job that we're ever going to have, is to tell the world there's a God that loves them and he's come to rescue them. You just don't get any more important than that. We've seen God be faithful. You know, I've talked to a lot of friends, and at the beginning, you know, we all had the same fears. We all had the same worries, as how are we going to survive this, you know? And as a church, how will we make it? How are we going to survive if we can't have in-person services? But what we've been reminded of is that the church isn't a building. And it's not just a service. It's a people. It's you and me. We're the people of God. That's what the church is. And I'll tell you, it's been pretty cool. Even in the midst of a pandemic, at our church, it's been so awesome to watch God show up. We've seen more people be baptized in 2020 in that one year than any other year previous. That was when we were shut down for a fourth of the year. It's like, how do you explain that? Only God. Only God could have done that. I know as you guys have as well, our people have been faithful and generous, and it's because of your guys' generosity, the generosity of Faro Christians, so many churches around the world, that faithful generosity, that ministry is still able to happen, missionaries are still supported, families in crisis are able to be helped. It's all because you guys have been faithful. And when we just continue to do what we can and we trust God to do what he does, he's going to make a way. So for me, I've had a lot of time to think and a lot of time to wonder and worry. What do we do? What are we going to do? And I just keep coming back to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7. As for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. What do we do when there's trouble? I would challenge you. We double down on our commitment to Christ. And we don't give up on God. We don't give up on each other. And we long for the day together. We just say, Lord, you give and you take away, but I'm going to walk where you want me to walk. And we just trust that he's got us right in the palm of his hand. So our church, and I know we're in this together. We're sister churches. We're about the mission. At Fairdale Christian, that church began in April of 1965. Actually, their first Sunday was on Easter Sunday. And through that, just, you know, a lot of steady growth and great people, and God's done a lot of great stuff. Actually, our very first youth minister was Tom Mobley. And we're getting ready to do a big renovation project in our building. So I was going through some old boxes just the other day. I mean, just like 3 days ago. I was going through these boxes. I found these old pictures of Tom when he was ordained at Fairdale Christian and some other things. And just really cool stuff. Kind of a neat connection there. But they had some, you know, steady growth through the years. But then in the 80s, something really unique happened to them. That's when they decided to build the Gene Snyder Freeway. And when they built that highway, it cut our property in half. So we kind of had a rectangle-shaped piece of property, and they went right through the middle of it. And actually, to this day, we still own a little triangle piece, about an acre of ground, on the other side of the Gene Snyder Freeway. We don't have any access to it. It's totally useless to us, but it's there. If anybody would like to buy an acre of property next to the Gene Snyder Freeway, I'll make you a flaming deal if you want. But when that happened, the pastor at the time, his name was Ron Davidson, and the leadership of the church, they were panicked. And so they started looking at the experts and talking to the experts and looking at research and saying, okay, what's going to happen now? Because when that happened, what it did, it left our church at the end of a dead-end street. And at that time, all the experts agreed, and the leadership was very concerned that it was going to kill the church. Matter of fact, they said, hey, guys, this is like the worst-case scenario for you. The church is going to be dead within 5 years. And they fast forward a little bit, because here's what we know now that they didn't know back in 1980-something. Is we have 50,000 cars that pass within feet of our building every day. And, you know, back in the day when signage used to be really important, like it used to be really important, people spend a lot of money on big signs that light up and glow and say, hey, here's the weather, here's the temperature, whatever. Like, that used to be really important. Now, not so much, because what we know, we get, you know, analytics from Google and different things. We know that most people who find our church, they find it through their smartphone. They say, give me directions, and it, you know, just takes them to where they need to go. And what we saw as being this tremendous obstacle, how will we ever overcome this, has now become one of our greatest assets. This is why I tell you that story, is for you and for me in our life. This is so often the way God works. What we see as an obstacle, very, very often God is using it as a setup. What we see as a setback, God's using it to set us up for something else. We see it in Scripture over and over and over and over again, and we see it in our lives. Could these words still be true today? I believe they're more true than ever. That even what we're going through, we're experiencing right now, God is using it in some way to lead us, to help us learn something that's going to strengthen us in the future. Wherever you are, those of you who are exhausted from being at home with your kids and trying to figure out the technology and everything else, I believe that the God who spoke these words would say it to you today, as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. And those of you wrestling with jobs and, you know, trying to figure out, am I going to keep my job? Or maybe you've lost a job and you're looking and it's difficult. I believe that the God who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence would speak the same words over your life today, that he would say, keep striving and keep straining, because as for you, you've got to be strong and courageous and your work will be rewarded. And those of you, I know that some of you in this room and some that watch online as well have given up months of their life. I mean, you had plans, you had things that you were going to go and because of everything happening, you've had to pull back and say, man, I limit what I do and I don't go anywhere because I care for an elderly person in my life, or I've got someone who is compromised, and you've sacrificed so much. I believe God would say to you, be strong and courageous. Be so strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. This is what it says of the people in Judah. I'm going to close with this. Of these people, after they heard from the Lord. In verse 12, it says that then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. And they shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. And all in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. And they earnestly sought after God, and they found him. and the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. May it be so with us. Would you pray with me? Father God, I'm so thankful for the people here at Nelson Christian and their faith and their steadiness, Lord. Thank you that they have trusted you. Lord, I pray that in the year to come that we would maintain our loyalty and our obedience to you. Send us out, Lord. May we be a part of that great commission to go and to teach and to lead and to love and to serve so that the world might know that you've come to rescue them. Father, I'm so thankful for your love that is new and fresh every morning for us. Lord, I thank you that we have the privilege of being called children of God. Pray your richest blessings on these men and women here. May you hold them close. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.